Welcome to EQ Above IQ, Parenting with Emotional Intelligence and Healing the Inner Child. My name is Trina Casey, and I am your host. Thank you for joining me. I appreciate you so much. On this episode, I'm going to be talking about something that is related to the EQ concept, but a little bit different. I'm going to be talking about personality intelligence, or called personal intelligence. This is when you understand, basically, yourself in a, what's your personality, what's your attitude towards things, understanding your likes and dislikes, and therefore really paying attention to the likes and dislikes of other people. People with very high personality or personal intelligence are good judges of personality. These are the people who always seem to know what's the best gift to buy for a person because they actually ask questions. They actually inquire. They have an invested interest in understanding people. They're able to identify clues to the personality, form accurate models of the personality, both their own and others. And they use this personality-based information to guide their choices. It's kind of like they systemize their goals and plans too. So just for example, if a young man is interested in a lady, he might start notice how talkative she is and pay attention to that and start asking questions to inquire about what books she likes to read or where they're set in. And then therefore, if she says that she likes exotic places, maybe he'll invite her to an exotic Ethiopian restaurant. People with high PI also may suffer from certain vulnerabilities. They may be more open to criticism from others, and that could be a part of developing their knowledge of self, but the consequent might be an increased risk of depression or dysphoria at some point in life. And I can personally tell you in my own experience, a person who has high PI, this has been the case. Because people matter to me and their personality helps me gauge whether or not I want to move forward in a relationship with them one way or the other. Now, this can be very tricky depending on who you engage with. First of all, like for example, narcissists are very difficult to read. And so a person with high PI might get a different answer from a narcissist than the truth, because that narcissist has a very low personal intelligence. For example, they're really out of touch with their inner states and with the inner states of others. Narcissists, for example, develop self-concepts of selves that are really vague or even inaccurate. So that's why you have the malignant narcissist who has grandiose ideas about their intelligence or what they're about, or you have the covert narcissist who basically is hiding who they really are because they don't know who they are because they have very low personal intelligence. You know, some people might even say that they are the ones who don't want to go too deep because they don't want to see what's underneath. And that is a perfect platform for creating a narcissist. Avoidance of self is basically low personality intelligence. So therefore, they have a difficult time buying gifts for people. They have a difficult time actually connecting with people in general because they don't have a personality of their own to interact with other people on their level. So they just kind of become mimics of other people's personalities and hope something will stick and it will create the relationship that they're looking for. And how many of us know narcissists like that? Personally, I do. So what I really wanted to touch base on is this personality intelligence is very important with EQ as well. emotional intelligence, because once you understand your personality, you really can understand who you best fit with and engage with and understand how your emotions can affect another person. For example, I know my personality is one of very openness, very vulnerable, very quick to be open in the beginning, because that's my level of comfort. I don't like surface relationships. I want to know who you are from the moment I meet, because that will give me the gauge on how much time I want to invest into getting to know you. Because quite frankly, and I'll be very honest, I'm not really attracted to people who can't get deeper. So surface people or superficial people or people who just like to talk about the weather are people I genuinely start to avoid, because I always feel like they don't know who they are. If you don't know who you are, you're never really going to know who I am. Or who I am is going to deeply affect you in a negative way. You know, for example, when you meet a person who doesn't have high self-esteem and you do, and you interact with that person likes you in the beginning, but over time that like starts to erode because you end up intimidating that person, or that person ends up having an attitude of who do you think you are towards the person who is just genuinely being themselves and genuinely is comfortable in their own skin. They know, and that person who is open, who is confident, could get their feelings hurt over time, because all of a sudden that initial openness turns into rejection. And it's always gradual too, because when you're dealing with lower self-esteem personalities, narcissists of all kind, whether it's malignant, covert, or whether it's vulnerable, their inability to see who they are, to understand their personality, to understand their likes and dislikes, and added onto not being able to connect that to their emotional states and not be able to regulate in a way to interact with somebody who is confident, can come off as aloofness, can come off as even arrogance, because you have pushed a button. I'm not going to insult my Scorpio people too much, but I have this interaction quite often with Scorpios, because Scorpios are very quiet. If you're into the astrological thing, I am a bit. I do see some correlations from time to time, because I not only work on the intellectual, psychological level, I also work on the metaphysical level, because I feel like everything is integrated. You know, to me, if you want to read a good book, Ken Wilber's Theory of Everything is a really good book to pick up and read to get where I'm coming at. Because I think one of the limitations that we have as a culture and society is that we put one thing above all when everything has some element to truth or connection to it. I've just recently jumped into another psychology class. I just can't get enough, because I just love how understanding how the brain works. But I just recently wrote a paper that asked me what other fields of studies can correlate or just can give data that is helpful to scientific research, and or what's the best way to say this? It basically was, is science the only way to get to truth? And I wholeheartedly think not. Because science, just like every structure, like religion, any kind of system, has biases built into them. And that bias is humans. For a very long time, the scientific field, like most fields, were dominated by people of not color. And therefore, people of not color did not get the fair assessments and studies due to them. And I think it wasn't even until 1993 that it was required by the scientific community to include women and people of color in research. That tells you a lot, okay? So any time before that, the development of a new medication or the development of a new concept in science, of psychology or whatever, was really based on Caucasian peoples in the study, but not people of color. So, you know, we're all different, but the same. Different in that people of color have a different emotional and psychological experience than white people in culture and society. So therefore, their experiences are going to be very different than non-people of color. So BIPOC people have a totally different social experience than white people. So they should be included in psychological studies and emotional studies about emotions, studies, even the physicalities, because we are slightly different. There's this young brother that from Africa, from Nigeria, I'm going to look up his name. Maybe I will put it in later. He is a medical illustrator. He's actually in medical school, and he is the first person to draw people of color, black people in particular, skin with certain rashes, and the way that a dark person's skin looks different when they have a certain rash. So he noticed that in all the medical books, there was no representation of any people of color when he was studying. So he took it upon himself to start illustrating these things so that this could be a part of the medical field of study, so that, you know, there was less guessing. There's always been a lot of guessing when it comes to darker color skin on what rash or disease or whatever you have, because things present different on a different skin color. It's a pretty simple concept, but it's very sad that it's just now that we've gotten to the point where people are like, my eczema doesn't look like your eczema. And I have personal experience with that. So anyways, moving back to personal intelligence. One of the things that's really important about understanding personal intelligence is that it assesses how people solve problems too. You know, your ability to solve problems, it helps you create like certain goals for yourself, because when you know who you're going to bump up against as far as personality, you're able to navigate which direction you want to take your career, you want to take your personal life, your romantic life. People with high personality, personal intelligence, have a high level of openness because they want to know who you are. Like I mentioned, curious. They're very curious about people in general. And also, people with high personal intelligence are going to have high emotional intelligence, because they are going to value their self-awareness. They're going to value how they regulate themselves around people. They're going to pay attention deeply about what motivates them in life to move forward. And they're actually going to be far more compassionate towards other people's motivations as well. And they're also going to be more socially adept. It's interesting, this field of study of personal intelligence, because it's so closely tied to emotional intelligence and all of the things. So I think what's really important for humanity at this moment is that we get a lot better in knowing thyself and a lot less avoidant. I think people who avoid getting deeper with themselves and are very standoffish or less feeling about life have a tendency to struggle socially. And also, one of the things that I noticed too, people with low personal intelligence and low emotional intelligence have a strong tendency to lie for gain, for personal gain especially, and social status. That is a big piece of people who have both low personal and emotional intelligence, because they always want to be perceived as something that they may not. And socially, sometimes that pushes people into saying that they have higher credentials than they do, saying that they, you know something that they don't. You know, we've all been in that social situation where you're in a room of people that could be intimidating. That is if you have low personal intelligence or emotional intelligence. Because if you have good emotional intelligence, high emotional intelligence, you're going to read that room and you're going to say, wow, I feel a little intimidated right now. But why? Because I'm comparing myself and I'm judging myself compared to these people. But who are these people? And then you're going to regulate yourself differently and you're going to breathe and you're going to go, it's okay. This is an opportunity for me to really engage with people I actually admire or I like or want to be aspired to be. This is a great opportunity. And so that creates a different motivation or different feeling inside of you to interact socially. It stops you from wanting to pretend to be somebody else. But again, like I said, low personal intelligence will make you go, oh God, I'm not good enough, or not understand basically that the only difference between you and this person who has a doctorate is the effort they put towards going to school and studying within a system that they respected. And maybe your personality doesn't respect that system, and therefore you didn't take that path. Because that path, you saw a lot of pain because you had personal intelligence to know that. For example, I find that people of color have very high personal intelligence around this subject because they know that certain social walls are up, and it's not just based on their personality, it's just based on their color of the skin. And they know that their color of skin and their personality are not the same things. But in the minds of the other people who are judging, comparing, or analyzing them, they already automatically say that, you know, certain people, you know, of course, certain cultures are this way and certain people are that way, because those particular people have low personality IQ. Do you see where I'm going? Personal IQ. You know where I'm going with this? Do you see my path? One of the biggest roots of our problems in the world is that there were people who went out into the world and decided what was right, what was wrong. They created institutions that reaffirmed that. And then they had no idea actually who they are, to the point of narcissism, to the point of mental illness, to the point of like genocide and barbaric behavior. And if they had higher personal intelligence along with higher emotional intelligence, they would understand where they fit and who they fit with, not just, you know, particular demographic based on a skin color or gender or anything like that. You know, I'm very fortunate in that I've had over years a very diverse friend group. I've actually purposely cultivated that because I really want to understand people. And so I've always been told that I have a very high personal IQ, and because there's so much to learn from people. I remember being in high school and one of my best friends at the time, she's half Japanese, and I was so fascinated with Japanese culture at that moment. And I went to her house and I met her mom, who was Japanese. Unfortunately, her father had passed already. But, you know, I learned how to make sushi. And to this day, this is one of my favorite skill sets that I actually attained from actually learning about the culture. I learned about dim sum. And these are things that you need to expose your children to. Because the more you expose your children to different cultures and different understanding how people live, the more opportunity they get to develop themselves and their personal intelligence and their emotional intelligence. Because so many problems of the world today are due to this negative comparison of oneself to another. Jealousy, vengefulness, a lack of self-love and compassion. And also not knowing when to hold your boundaries with certain people. When your personal intelligence is high, you get a quick assessment on who you're going to vibe with. But that takes time and development. So giving your child all of these opportunities to interact with different people in different culture actually gives them this inner strength and this inner superpower to hopefully use for good. I'm sure that a lot of people like, there's this book called Power by Robert Greene. And some people call it a sociopath's or psychopath's guide to get what they want. But others say it's a good book to learn how to avoid people who are sociopaths and psychopaths and narcissists, and how to hold clear, strong boundaries so that you are not manipulative. You know, it's called the 48 Laws of Power. And he, of course, he created it as working as a writer in Hollywood. The perfect manipulation machine. And I'm laughing, but it's true. You know, if you think about what you see on movies and television, all of this has basically formed the culture that we live in now. And of course, he'd be able to write a book that could tell you how to manipulate people, because he worked in a very manipulative industry. And I actually started reading this book and it kind of made me nauseous. Not because I didn't understand these things were accurate. Some of them were accurate. It depends on who you're dealing with. It depends on your personal intelligence and your tendency to lie. I got nauseous because I don't like the idea that people go about life in this way. It's so sad because it's so surface, and it's so telling me that power has been the guiding force for humanity for so long, and it's very narcissistic and it's very unhealthy, and it hasn't really locked us in a place that's emotionally intelligent and healthy. So yeah, I'd say read this book if you are interested. But it's not for the faint of heart. Like, if you're sensitive like me, you're going to be like, oh, this is horrible. But like I said, unfortunately, this world has been built by people like this author. And some of the most successful people reference the book, like Jay-Z, 50 Cent, Michael Jackson, you know, Courtney Love, Will Smith. Will Smith, I consider on the nicer side, but these are very driven, ambitious people. And some of their personalities are quite, personally for me, off-putting, like, you know, but it accomplished high level success. So maybe I need to read it a little bit closer. Anyways, I appreciate you listening to this episode of EQ Above IQ. Please go and support this podcast so that I can make more and also make more books that teach emotional intelligence. And I really love what I do, and I'm so excited. I have a guest coming on who is a total guru, and I don't like the word guru, is an expert, and one of the founders of 6 Seconds, Joshua Freeman, is going to be on EQ Above IQ. I'm so excited. Woohoo! Yes, I've been a big fan of 6 Seconds for a very long time, and so much great information and data. And it's one of my motivations to become an emotional intelligence coach and cognitive behavioral therapy coach that I am. And so I'm so honored that he has agreed to be on EQ Above IQ coming up in the next couple of weeks. So you have to listen into that one. And please go back and listen to my previous episodes, where I'm truly trying to get our minds oriented in an EQ way so that we can solve some problems through sharing some of my problems, because I'm not perfect. And I admit that. And I am on a journey like everyone else. And I'm a strong believer, you don't need to be perfect to help others. And matter of fact, with every hand you give out, you heal yourself and you heal others. And so we need to all, no matter how imperfect you think you are, put your hand out with the intention and motivation to heal, and that's what will happen. That's what will happen. So let's all go out today with the intention to put our hand out and heal and support and love and have a blessed day.